The following content is for informational purposes only and does not consider legal, tax, or investment advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. All future projections, forecasts, or forward-looking statements are inherently uncertain and subject to change. Investing is limited to verified accredited investors under Rule 506C of the Securities Act. The SEC has not passed upon the merits of any offering by Chard Capital.
Welcome to the deep dive. If you're an investor, maybe kind of new to the energy space, you've definitely heard the buzz around battery energy storage systems, BESS, and EV charging.
Absolutely. They're popping up everywhere.
Right. And they're not just, you know, quick tech flips. These are really being positioned as like long-term infrastructure assets, bedrock stuff.
That's the key. Designed for decades of returns.
Exactly. So today we want to cut through some maybe potential confusion and look at what really happens after these things are built. What are the real world factors? And crucially, how are they managed?
Getting into the nitty gritty. I like it.
Yeah. So, okay, let's jump in. These BESS and EV charging sites, they sound great, loads of potential, but what are some of those potential challenges or, you know, risks once they're actually up and running?
Right. That's the critical question for any infrastructure, really.
Yeah.
And for these specifically. Well, a few things reliably crop up. First, you've got utility interconnection delays.
Okay, so that's just getting plugged into the main grid.
Basically, yeah. And it can be, well, complex, sometimes slow. Then there are local permitting and zoning hurdles, just getting the final sign-offs.
The red tape, always a factor.
Always. And, you know, things can change too. Grid program rules might shift or bigger picture policy stuff. Think tax credits, depreciation rules, that kind of thing.
Okay. So external factors. What about the tech itself?
Good point. There's always the technical side. You might see maybe underperformance from the batteries themselves or the PCS, that's the power conversion system.
The bit that turns DC to AC.
Exactly. Or even the EMS, the energy management system, the brains of the operation. And for EV chargers, sometimes utilization at certain spots might be a bit lower than you first hoped.
Okay, that sounds like quite a list.
It does. But here's the thing. None of this is really a surprise. You know, these are known variables in infrastructure projects. And the key is they can be managed very effectively, actually.
Right. Okay. That's the crucial part for an investor then. If these are long-term plays, how do the serious players tackle these known issues? How do they make sure they still get those durable returns?
It really comes down to a what you might call a risk-first mindset.
Yeah.
Think groups like Charge Capital Partners and Zura. They aren't just hoping things go smoothly.
They're planning for bumps in the road.
Precisely. First off, conservative underwriting. This means really stress testing the numbers. Assume lower revenue, assume lower EV charger use early on, build in buffers for delays, maybe 10-15% cost contingency.
So building in safety margins right from the financial model.
Exactly. Creating a robust base case. Second, strong technical partnerships are huge. Working closely with the specialist OEMs, the folks making the gear.
The battery manufacturers, the charger companies.
Yep. And expert engineers.
Yeah.
For design, for quality control, QAQC, making sure it's installed right, commissioning it properly, and getting solid performance guarantees. It's about ensuring the tech is solid.
Okay, solid finances, solid tech. What else?
Diversification. It's classic investment sense, right?
Right.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Spread the risk.
Spread the risk across different regions, different utility areas, different types of grid programs, different kinds of sites, maybe some highway locations, some urban ones. It just reduces your exposure if one specific area faces a challenge.
Makes sense. So you're not overly reliant on one single factor going perfectly.
You got it. And the bottom line, really, from what we're seeing, is that this combination, designing conservatively, validating the tech rigorously, and spreading the risk through diversification, that's what safeguards investor interests.
So it supports those durable long-term cash flows that investors are looking for in infrastructure.
That's the goal. And this approach makes it achievable. The challenges are understood and the strategies to handle them are pretty robust.
That's really encouraging to hear. It shows that even with the complexities you find in, you know, new energy infrastructure, having the right strategy doesn't just mitigate risk. It kind of paves the way for growth.
Well put.
Right.
It turns potential problems into manageable variables.
So thinking about that proactive approach, what stands out to why you, our listener, about how that kind of strategic planning can transform potential roadblocks into managed pathways for growth, especially in this exciting new energy infrastructure space? Something to think about.